So when you follow God, you have to have that foundation. And they had an unmatched foundation. And people made light of the faith movement, Word of Faith. You know, people, you know, they talked about them, but they didn't go around bashing people. And they did the works of God, and the Lord cleared things up for them. Were they perfect? Who's perfect? But they did a move of God. See, we may not know everything, but God can cause what we have in Him to multiply into the lives of others. Now, in order for them to see, when I got saved in 83, they were already in place. I'm standing on their shoulders. Kenneth Hagin learned to walk in faith by other men who walked in faith and by the Lord who taught him. And they taught things the right. When I first got called to the ministry, I wanted to make sure that I obeyed God and do exactly what He said. I didn't want to abuse the ministry God gave me. I didn't want to teach something that wasn't true. I've seen so many people teach things that were just not true. And I didn't want to do that. So my strategy was to speak what God gave me and say that no more, no less. But then when I would hear Kenneth Hagin, the Lord would give him, he would teach some of the same thoughts that the Lord was giving me. The Lord gave me a message. Then I hear him teaching about it. And then Frank Matchin was on the radio. And he gave me a similar message to what he gave me. The first time I met him, I told him about it. You know, the Lord told me, the message he gave me was, I won't back up. And he gave him the message, I won't back off. So, that meant a lot to me. Because when you hear a person teaching the word that, all right, God gave it to you, now you got a reference. This is serious. This is something I don't get used to. I enjoy it every time. I like staying linked to the Holy Spirit. It's common for the Sunday school class to teach something, then go into church and the pastor's teaching the same thing, sometimes word for word. Why? Because we're linked to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get used to it. I want to stay linked. That proves that we are linked to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to drift off into a tangent. And that has happened in the lives of so many wonderful men and women of God. It's not hard to get into a tangent where things stop working. You have to stay connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. And that's what, when I'm doing what, when God give me a hard case, when He give me something I didn't know, it's very new to me, then I go to church and I'm getting confirmations. Now the roots grow deeper. I can do what God said do without interference. That's very valuable to me. And that's what she's teaching here. Those that have a reservoir of the word, they let the word grow deep in their heart. And then the Lord uses them and network them together. Just like the hydroelectric dam. The hydroelectric plant. The tubes that connect the reservoirs together, it all works to serve the greater purpose. See, one time the Lord told me about operatives. You're connected to me. You're doing what I'm saying over here. Somebody that you don't know is confirming everything you said or preparing people to hear what you said. You know, we're networked together by the Holy Ghost. So when you follow God, you're just an operative, and there are other people working to confirm and build up the same thing. That's what she's talking about. Okay. I'm ready to continue. All right. Let me back up to this paragraph. In 1963, there was little evidence of such networking of the churches and ministers. Nevertheless, I understood that he was showing me a network of churches that had been dug out through which he would flow his great flood of truth. The digging would happen as pastors and believers obeyed God and allowed the dealings of God to work together, to work in their lives. By their yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit and His Word, they will become reservoirs of truth. From these churches, his power will flow throughout all the world. And together, it's a worldwide ministry. You know, I heard testimonies of people in Israel, Palestine. A man was a student from of Rhema, and he went there and he was renting a hotel from a Palestinian guy. And they called them the happy people. The landlord did, because they were always happy and they didn't understand why. And then the Palestinian guy, Jesus appeared to him and he got saved because of the happy people. See, when you do something, you put in motion something that can't be reversed. Okay, continue. Although no specific cities were named, I saw five geological areas within the United States and that would become vital centers for his divine power. Then a vast network of churches had been filled with living water. God will pull a great switch and open all the gates of truth that have been dammed up by man. I saw the release of stream after stream of truth that God wanted to flow freely in the church. Now that's to everybody. But the truth had been dammed up behind denominational walls erected by man. Then, you know, and you know, you can go back and trace where every thought come from. And remember, the Protestant church came out of the Catholic church, which was a combination of Christianity and a compromise of other religions. So it's a lot of things. You got to go by the word of God so that you don't get caught up in their tangent. And people get caught up in tangent. People of God get caught up into a tangent. But greater light always gets us out of it. Okay, page 12, the next move of God. Then the vision continued to unfold to me. In my spirit, I heard the water, his word, began to run. Churches that had their reservoirs prepared began to fill up with water. They were ready for God to pull the switch and open the gates of truth from that great dynamo. I remember Jesus' promise to those who believed on him. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. This verse speaks figuratively of the effects of the operation of the Holy Spirit in and through the believer. When God releases his dunamis power in this next move of God, rivers of living water will flow out of their innermost beings. Habakkuk's prophecy will become a reality. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, when those gates of truth are finally open, we are going to see an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sky-blue, sin-killing, gullah-washing revival. Now, I'll end with the scientific documentation. I transcribed my vision of the hydroelectric plant onto paper. Leon McGuire, in whose home I was staying, took the transcript to the Pacific Power Company in Oregon and asked to see the head engineer. He told him he would like to leave a transcript for him to critique, saying, "It is very important to us that we understand this material and know whether or not it is correct. The person who wrote it is deeply concerned as to its accuracy. If you would not mind taking some time to critique it, we would greatly appreciate it." The engineer agreed to do so. When my host returned to the power company a few days later, the president of the company wanted to see him. A receptionist ushered him into the office of the president. After greeting him kindly, the president asked, "Where did you get this information?" My host responded, "What would you say if I told you that a little woman who cannot fix a light switch wrote it?" "I would say she's pulling your leg." The president retorted, "This paper is one of the most scientific I have ever read. There are words and terms in here that only a few master electricians know and understand. Some of these terms are even used by men in the Pentagon. Whoever wrote this paper was a master electrician." "Please forgive me," my host responded. "I should not have said it was a little lady who wrote it. She just copied it down. The master electrician the Holy Spirit described it to her. Now, my favorite scripture, St. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide you into all truth. A lady that can't fix a light switch, God could give her this wonderful analogy. And she wrote it down from memory because it was written on the tables of her heart. And it amazed the president of that electric company and the engineers. So when you ask the Lord a question, you remember you're talking to God who knows all things. He knows all truth. And he knows how to relate it to you. It's not about how skilled you are, how smart you are, or how smart you're not. Can you receive from the Lord and share it? That's the question. Can you obey God? Now, the Lord, when you're talking about souls, people's lives are on the line. That's why I pray that prayer is under God's direction. See, I could have prayed that a long time ago, but now is the time because the Lord put it on my heart yesterday. I was cleaning the pool and that thought came to me to pray that way. And for everybody who already made that decision to honor God, you know, I mentioned this a long time ago about I would do all that's in God's heart. I started talking about that for months. And some people adopted that as a way of life. And God wanted to bless those of you who did. And then those who didn't, he wants you to. But those who are interested and they want to know God, he want to increase you too. But those who did it already, he's going to multiply you. This is why you will take the gospel forward. You've got determination. It don't matter what you have, your resources, none of that matters. You can pray and the angels will act. Every time the people of God pray, see, he said, pray that he would send laborers into his field. God's not going to send laborers unless people pray. Because he never did any miracles without man after he made Adam and gave him authority. Once he gave authority to Adam, he was hands off. Now, the only time he acts sovereignly is when there's a covenant, an agreement. He can work through the covenant. There were things Abraham didn't know to pray for. But because of the covenant, God intervened on his behalf twice. When he went to Egypt and when he went to Gerar. They tried to take Sarah. He didn't even ask God to protect him and his wife. He asked his wife to protect him and his wife. And they were going to take her and keep him alive. And she was going to be somebody else's wife. But the covenant said that can't happen. So God intervened. Abraham didn't know. He did not pray. Whatever he knew, he did not pray and ask God to protect him. It's not recorded anyway. Sometimes we don't know to pray for things, but the Holy Spirit can act on our behalf. When you say, I will do all this in God's heart, you're preparing yourself to go beyond yourself because you're going to be able to trust whatever God says. When God tells you to do something and it's good with you, you're excited about it, you're going to follow God. And you're not going to let the devil win. That's just how it is. That's as easy as math. Addition. So 1 and 1 is 2. It's easy to understand and it's easy to operate in. When your will is connected and you can't leave anything to chance because Satan's looking for something to shut the move of God down. He's trying to stop what God has started. Always. He's trying to stop it any which way he can. And when you say everything that's not like Satan, it's got to go. When I started doing that, it was easier. Even though I don't remember being in fear, it was easier to walk in faith. It was easier to not doubt. It was easier to destroy fear. It was easier to do everything. My appetite for things that I like changed. You know, I'd rather do something more mature than something that's less mature. It's just, it works. You're operating in the God kind of strength. I'm excited about Jesus' return. in the sense of, as for me, because I like being around Jesus. And also I'm patient because I want to get the job done. So I'm not in a hurry for him to come when I think about others. And I'm excited about his return when I think about me. That's called balance. Now, Fuchsia Pickett wrote these things, and the Lord's showing you what he's... Now, he's done these things. He's raised up great men of God. They were foundational. They did their part. Other men of God as well. And even Baptist brothers. Their Baptist brothers is doing a great job. Methodist brothers doing a great... And Catholic brothers doing a great job. In the charismatic movement, the Holy Spirit fell in all these churches. I went to a friend's funeral, and they was talking like Charles Capps at a Methodist church. And it was a woman pastor, too. Things change. Everything moves out to crisis formed in all of us. So it's not good to accuse people of something they didn't do. Every Methodist church is not alike, and every Baptist church is not alike. Every Pentecostal church is not alike, and every Word of Faith church is not alike. Some love God, and some have left the faith. Because the enemy sends tares among the wheat to disrupt. But when you have your heart set on God's will and against Satan's will, see, we receive God's word and reject Satan's word, now we're balanced. If you receive God's word and don't have reject Satan's word, you're going to be leavened. If you reject Satan's word and don't receive God's word, you're going to be weak. So you're going to have to follow God and do it all. Receive everything God is saying. Learn everything you can. Let the health of God's word bring to life every part of your life. And reject the death of Satan's word that has infiltrated your life and trying to get into your life. Reject it. And destroy. Speak against it. Curse it. Not with profanity, but just curse it. Say, it'll never work against me. I told Satan, I'll never die by your hand. I said, I'll always win. You'll never kill my family. It's up to you. God said, he'll allow what you allow. People used to say, well, if God allows Satan, God don't allow Satan to do nothing. Man does. He told me that clearly. He said, I allow what you allow. Jesus said it too. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Don't let him do nothing to you. And say it as a way of life. Say it with expectation. You got God's word. You got the contract on it. The word of God is the contract. What are you saying? And if you're trying to figure out God's will, you're in doubt. Get the word, stand on it, and that's the law. That's it. He can't go beyond what you say. And give God something to work with. Now, that don't mean that if somebody put a gun in my head and say, deny Christ, I'm not going to deny Christ. But I told Satan ahead of time, I'll never die by your hands. That includes him and all of his people. One day the Lord told me he gave me my life. And so I don't expect to die as a martyr, but I'm not afraid to. I'm going to follow God in everything that I do. I fortify my heart to do it. You can fortify your heart to be as strong as you want it to be, and God will back you up. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.